This Sunday, HBO will start airing the final episodes of The Sopranos. The organized crime drama has been very good to HBO over the past 8 years. Nate DeMeo looks at the economic life of HBO as it faces the loss of its biggest earner.
So Tony's on edge because he thinks the feds might know that he and Big Pussy whack Matt Bevilacqua. Then Paulie Walnuts walks in with bad news, and Tony lets him have it.
On my freaking kids, I will freaking cut you. Just tell me.
And because Tony swears on his freaking kids that he will freaking cut Paulie, instead of saying something more pointed, HBO is able to take home $200 million.
The magic of editing has allowed us to deliver really impactful episodes of The Sopranos that can play on A&E.
That's the head of HBO, Chris Albrecht. In January, the basic cable network A&E started showing cleaned-up Sopranos reruns at $2.5 million apiece. That's just one of only a string of staggering dollar figures that the show has brought in since its debut in 1999.
It certainly established us as a force to be reckoned with in the original programming world. The other thing that it did do, it made massive amounts of money in the DVD business.
Steve Zaitchik covers HBO for Variety. When it comes to DVDs, he says, the programs have already been paid for, so the profit margins are huge.
You know, I don't want to say you're just collecting money, but, you know, these collections often sell for $40, $50, $60.
And even $70, $80, $100. HBO sold more than 1.3 million DVD copies of The Sopranos' first season alone. So what's been a steady torrent of cash for years now is about to stop. But the financial legacy of The Sopranos has put HBO in a strong position to deal with it. Paul Brownfield is a TV critic with the LA Times.
They've got people paying for the service every month, whether they air The Wedding Crashers 50 million times or they have a new season of The Sopranos.
The buzz around The Sopranos and, to a lesser extent, Sex and the City and Six Feet Under helped HBO amass nearly 30 million subscribers. And while subscriptions are leveling off for a bunch of reasons, the network's still pulling in $5 or $6 a month from every one of them. That's more than $1.5 billion in subscription revenue alone every year. Variety's Steve Zaitchik says that huge cushion lets them fail every now and then.
Certainly there have been some shows that haven't panned out, Deadwood, Carnival, and Rome. But I think what they've done now is really kind of brilliant.
He says HBO is adjusting to a changing market. Rivals like Showtime and even basic cable stations like FX have been stealing away attention, the occasional Emmy, and audiences with talked-about shows like The Shield and The Tudors. But after failing to create a new Soprano-sized hit, HBO is trying something different. For the first time, it will be rolling out several new shows in quick succession, even expanding beyond its traditional Sunday block.
We're not in the ratings business, but we're in the impact business and in the buzz business. And our job, actually, is to continue the buzz.
Chris Albrecht says the strategy now is to try to satisfy several niches rather than have the one hit that everyone watches. He says if there's no one show that's going to sell a million DVDs anymore, they'll replace it with four shows that sell 300,000. He also recognizes that even in a post-Sopranos world, HBO has the luxury of playing by different rules.
In a way, having things begin and end is perhaps more advantageous to us than trying to play the network paradigm, which is to amass as many episodes as you can of one particular show. This is about continuing to have people talk about us and write about us.
And Albrecht knows that broadcast shows like NCIS or Crossing Jordan will draw millions of viewers year after year and barely register a blip on the cultural radar. But the media will continue to generate dozens of articles and TV segments and radio stories about HBO shows watched by a relatively small slice of the American public. For NPR News, I'm Nate DeMeo.